in the limelight.
The combination of poverty and urban heat leaves U.S. vulnerability to climate events extreme, says Sasha Bromsky, writer, in an article published under the heading, Record-breaking heat waves have arrived decades earlier than predicted. Stay tuned for more. The heat waves of 2021, which have pummeled western regions of the United States and Canada, have killed, at a minimum, hundreds of people. In British Columbia, authorities recorded a spike in death in the nearly 500 range after temperatures soared to near 120 degrees, and in both Oregon and Washington state, dozens more are known to have died. Yet those numbers, horrific as they are, do not tell the full story of the devastation caused by this summer's record-breaking temperatures, caused by climate catastrophe that, until recently, even the most pessimistic climatologist thought was still two or three decades out. Indeed, the mortality data showed that recent deaths were not simply a result of just one extreme heat event. There have already been a series of heat domes, a phenomenon in which extreme heat generated by warm ocean air is trapped under a high-pressure cap parked over the western part of the continent this summer, with more on the way. And the trend continues. Each of those domes will bring death in its wake, and each will compound the damage inflicted by previous heat events as vulnerable people fall prey to a lethal combination of heat, pollution, isolation, and a lack of access to air conditioners and cooling centers. Moreover, as the heat wave impacts accumulate, many will suffer cascading health consequences. This has already been seen in earlier extreme heat events around the world, perhaps most notoriously in Europe in 2003. Epidemiologists now estimate that a week-long heat wave spiked mortality on the continent by between 50,000 and more than 70,000 deaths. That's almost as many people dying per week of heat-related ailments in 2003 as died of COVID each week on the continent, at the height of the pandemic in 2020, when deaths in Europe peaked at about 40,000 per week. Awful as the recent numbers coming out of the western U.S. are, those preliminary numbers do not tell the full story of excess mortality, a story that takes time to fully investigate. Moreover, they do not tell the more intimate story of who is getting sick or dying, and of the disparate impact, too often ignored in the broader political conversation, of these increasingly devastating environmental cataclysms on poorer communities of color across the U.S. When it comes to heat waves and the violence they produce, we have this will not to know that makes it very difficult to act, explains Eric Klinsberg, a New York University professor of sociology and author of the 2002 book Heatwave, about a lethal weather event in Chicago in the summer of 1995 that resulted in hundreds of isolated, mainly elderly residents dying. There is something existentially challenging about absorbing the reality of climate change, what it means for how we live, how we settle, how we organize our lives, the health risks of heat are hard for people to understand because they're not like fires or hurricanes or earthquakes where everyone can recognize the heat. Heat doesn't feel scary to most Americans because we are one of the most air-conditioned, artificially cooled nations on Earth, so it's hard to generate political will to protect poor people in heat waves, unquote. And of course, not everyone has access to air conditioning or even to homes in which air conditioning could be installed. While an estimated 87% of Americans do have some air conditioning, even if only a wall unit in their homes, that leaves 13% and a far higher percentage in poorer communities, particularly vulnerable during sudden temperature increases. A residential consumption survey from 2015 showed a direct correlation between household income level and availability of air conditioning. Nearly 3 in 4 households with income above $100,000 had central air conditioning, while barely half of the households with incomes of under $40,000 did. Of course, air conditioners, while necessary in large parts of the world as the planet heats up, are hardly a cost-free panacea, since AC systems themselves feed into a vicious cycle of adding heat-generating pollutions into the atmosphere. And even for those who do have some air conditioning, recent studies have shown that poorer, non-white urban neighborhoods across the U.S. with higher population densities, fewer shade trees, and historically less emphasis on efficient urban design experience far higher temperatures than do wealthier, more planned communities in the same cities. The class differences in the U.S. hold in big metropolitan areas and small towns alike, and the research shows that communities with a higher percentage of African American and Latino residents tend to have hotter temperatures than do whiter population centers. Because of the legacy of redlining, which relegated African American populations in particular to less desirable physical locations in cities, those districts tend to be more at risk of flooding or particulate pollution, and now of heat extremes because of global warming. Older people and socially isolated people also experience a highly disproportionate number of heat wave deaths, according to Klingsberg. In the coming years, Klingsberg fears the U.S. is uniquely ill-positioned to deal with the consequences of an escalating global warming crisis. We have a climate emergency, a racial justice emergency, and an inequality emergency, and a social infrastructure emergency, he argues, adding, we have to deal with the fact that there is grotesque poverty in the United States, and that cities are heat ovens. That combination of poverty and urban heat leaves U.S. vulnerability to climate events extreme.